When he was talking to the Samaritan woman, he said something else about the new covenant. In John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman spoke about the Jews worshiping in that mountain and we Samaritans worshiping here. And Jesus replied to him and said in John, replied to her, and said in John 4:23, the true worshippers will worship the Father. They would worship God in the Old Testament. Now we worship our Father in spirit. And it says in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit. That's the other wonderful thing about the new covenant. In the old covenant, they could only worship in body and soul. I have to rush through this, but you can look at these references later. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, man is spirit, soul, and body. It's a trinity. And in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, which had three parts, outer court, holy place, most holy place, symbolized body, soul, and spirit. And the most holy place was blocked off by a curtain called the veil, symbolizing that God could not dwell in man's spirit. God dwelt there and nobody could go into that place. But when Jesus died, that veil was rent. That was the opening of the new covenant. And now God can enter man's spirit. And we can enter into God's presence. And we can worship God in spirit. What's the difference between worshiping God in body and soul? In the Old Testament, you read the Psalms. It's the soul is our mind and our emotions. So when a person praises God with his mind and his emotions and claps and raises his hands, he is praising God in body and soul. But he's not come into the realm of the spirit. In our communication with God, there are four steps. The first is prayer, where we ask God for what we need. The second is thanksgiving, where we thank him for answered prayer. The third is praise, where we praise him for who he is, not for what he's done. That's thanksgiving. And worship. And worship is the one thing which most people don't even know what it is. What most people call praise and worship in all of our churches is not praise and worship. It is praise and thanksgiving. You say, what does it matter if we call us one thing, if we call praise worship, or the phrase doesn't matter? Let me use an illustration. Supposing a man says to a friend of his, I bought a gift for you, a Cadillac car. And this poor man does not know what a Cadillac car is. He doesn't even know what a car is. He says, go to this store and ask for it. And that storekeeper cheats him by giving him a bicycle with the word Cadillac car written on it. And he goes around thinking he's got a Cadillac car. He didn't get it. He just has a bicycle. That's the difference between just calling praise worship when it is not worship at all. Does it make a difference? There's a lot of difference between a bicycle and a Cadillac car. And there's as great a difference between praise and worship. Praise is praising God for who he is. Let me show you what the New Testament says about worship. In Romans, in chapter 12, it says, with such a wonderful gospel that he has described in the previous 11 chapters, what should you do in return? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, which I've just described in 11 chapters, present your body a living and a holy sacrifice, just like in the Old Testament on the altar, they offered bulls and goats. Now he says, present your body a living and a holy sacrifice to God. That is your spiritual service of worship. That's how the NASB translates it, which is the accurate translation. Your worship in the spirit, which Jesus spoke about to the Samaritan woman. He told the Samaritan woman, the time is coming when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit. That was on the day of Pentecost. That's when that time came. Before that, nobody could worship in the spirit. And here it says, worship in the spirit is when you present your body as a living sacrifice to God. In the Old Testament, they had to cut up the bullock or goat into pieces. And so when we present our body, we don't just say, Lord, take my body. No. We have to fulfill that Old Testament symbolism of cutting up our body. Lord, here is my tongue. I never want to say what I want to say from now on with this tongue. I never want to get angry with this tongue. This tongue is to be used to speak words that glorify you. And now the next piece of my body, I cut it up and give it to you. Lord, my eyes, I never want to look or read at anything that you would not want me to look at or read. And my hands, I'm cutting up my body. Lord, my hands are yours. I offer it to you as an act of worship. I never want to do or write anything with this hand which will dishonor you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is your worship in the spirit. And not only that, then allow your mind, Romans 12:2, to be changed into the mind of God. Renewing of your mind so that you know what the perfect will of God is. So this is true worship, where I've offered my body and my mind to the Lord for Him to control. Now I want to turn you to another passage of Scripture. We looked at John chapter 1, and that is in Hebrews chapter 8, where the New Covenant is again described. In Hebrews 8, we read that in verse 7, if the first covenant, Hebrews 8:7, was faultless, there was no need for a second covenant. Let me explain that. If the old covenant was faultless, there was no need for a new covenant. Now, that doesn't mean God made a mistake in giving the old covenant. No. That means the old covenant could not bring man to the place God wanted him to come, which is to have the life of God. It could only make man obey certain things externally, the Ten Commandments, nine of them. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, etc. But that was not God's plan. God's plan was much more than that, that his life should come inside and man's heart would obey. That from the innermost being, he would be pleasing to God. Because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, yes, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And the old covenant could only make people good in the outward appearance. And a Christian who is good in his outward appearance, but not in his heart, is an old covenant Christian. A Christian who is pure in his outward appearance, but not pure in his heart, is an old covenant Christian. I'm not saying his sins are not forgiven, but he has not understood the new covenant at all. And he's not experienced it, because the new covenant is in the heart.